Good evening.
Good evening.
It is good to be here to meditate on the Passion of Christ on this Good Friday evening, which is a unique service that I don't think we have had it in a while. Today, you see all of our sanctuary stripped. There is no parchments or banners here, which denotes the emptiness of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was emptied himself, all but love. That's what we are reminded of for the emptying of all the adornments in the church. And we will have a special service today, tonight. A lot of readings and a lot of music reminding us the Passion of Christ. And a very short sermon, very short. And we have candles here already lit. And after each reading of the passage of the scripture, we will extinguish one candle after each reading. And at the last passage read, we'll turn off the lights and the last candle will be extinguished. Then we'll sing the closing song in darkness, and then we live in silence. And remembering the suffering of Christ, and take this scripture readings with you. You can meditate on those readings for the rest of the weekend until Easter, and we'll have the Easter morning service on at 11 o'clock celebrating the resurrection of Christ. So that is going to be our special service tonight. So let us start the service. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we gather to commemorate the most significant event in the history of humankind, the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. On a Good Friday, with deep sorrow and mourning, we come here to remember his suffering. But it is also a day of immense hope and salvation. He was betrayed, arrested, and sentenced to death, all for the sake of humanity's salvation. He endured physical torture and humiliation and the weight of the world's sins on his shoulders. The cross that he carries was heavy, but his love for us was even heavier. The crucifixion of Jesus is not just a historical event. It is a personal event for each of us. A reminder of God's immense love for each of us. He loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. This love is unconditional and it surpasses all human understanding. It is the love that saves us from our sins and grants us eternal life. So let us worship God. And the opening hymn is On a Hill Far Away on 504. If you are able, please stand and join the opening hymn, On a Hill Far Away. At last I lay down. I will sing to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross
so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that rock Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And to pray to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Old rugged cross, I'll ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ was lifted up high on the cross so that the whole world might draw the whole world to Himself. Grant that we who glory in His death for our salvation may also glory in His call to take up our own crosses and follow Him. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please follow the bulletin for the rest of the service. Christ bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. The responsive reading is taken from Psalm 22, verses 1 through 11, which is on page 752. Please follow.
Be please there.
752.
Yes. 752.
Yeah, if you are able, please stand. We'll read verses 1 through 11.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning?
Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer.
And by night, but find no rest.
Yet you, the praises of Israel, are enthroned in holiness.
In you our forebears trusted. They trusted and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were saved.
In you they trusted and were not disappointed.
But I am a worm and not human.
Scorned by others and despised by the people.
All who seek me mark at me.
They mock mouth at me. They wag their heads.
He committed his cause to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let the Lord rescue him. For the Lord delight in him.
Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe upon my mother's breast.
Upon you I can cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God.
Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help.
The word of God for the peoples of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, look with mercy on your church for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and to be given over to the hands of sinners and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The first scripture reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We will extinguish one candle now. We will sing the next hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, 298. If you can turn to 298.
my service the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss and for contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me I sacrifice them to His blood. Seed from His sand, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Dear such love and sorrow me, oh, thorns compose so rich a crown. Where the whole realm of nature mine, that where an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
The next reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 12 through 27. If you can stay, remain standing for the reading of the Gospel, John chapter 18, verses 12 through 27.
A detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Ananias, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest, that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leader that it would be good if one man died for the people. Simon Peter and other disciples were following Jesus because this disciple was known to the high priest. He went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. You aren't one of these men, this man's disciples too, are you? She asked Peter. He replied, I'm not. It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. I have spoken openly to the world, Jesus replied. I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said. When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. Is this the way you answer the high priest? He demanded. If I said something wrong, Jesus replied, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Then Ananias sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing there warming himself. So they asked him, you are one of his disciples too, are you? He denied it, saying, I'm not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man who Peter had cut off, challenged him. Didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow.
We'll extinguish the next candle now. Now the next hymn is 365 Grace Greater Than Our Sins.
365. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary found out for, there with the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves go, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuse, the mighty cross. Grace, 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 grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can a wave to wash it away? Look, there is flowing at crimson tide, brighter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Marvelous grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
The next reading is taken from the John's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed over you to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Extinguish the next candle. The next gospel reading is taken from, continue with the reading on John chapter 19 verses 1 through 16.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flagged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You have no power over me if it was not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sit down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in the Arabic was
Gabbatha.
It was the day of preparation of the Passover, and it was about noon. "Here's your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." Should I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
Let's extinguish the next candle. Let us pray the prayer together. Follow me, and we'll pray the prayer together. O sinless Son of God, we weep as we consider how you took on our sins. You carried our sorrows. You were pierced for our iniquities. You accepted the punishment that brought us peace. And you received the wounds through which we are healed. We surrender our lives at the foot of the cross tonight. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Amen. The next reading is John 19:17-24. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. He read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests and the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let us decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." So this is what the soldiers did. The next candle is extinguished. We'll sing "There Is a Fountain" 622. Now the next scripture reading is John 19:25-30.
What is it?
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Caiaphas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciples, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home, later knowing that everything that has now been finished, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus says, "I'm thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lip. So when he had received the drink, Jesus says, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Extinguish the next candle. We'll sing the hymn, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross," 301. We'll sing 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand, just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross,
last scripture reading is John chapter 19 verses 31 through 42. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. None of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a tomb, in which no one has ever been laid, because it was a Jewish holiday of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. The last candle will be extinguished now. Dear friends, this is the starkest night of human history, where the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, was put to death on a horrible cross. He suffered for our sins, for the sins of this world, and he forsake himself so that we will not be forsaken by God. When we feel paralyzed by fears and doubts in our minds, remember that Jesus has already gone through that. God has given his Son Jesus Christ for this world, to die for us so that we could be called the children of God. He bore our sins on his body when he took the stripes on his body so that we could be healed. So tonight is a night of remembrance of the suffering of Christ, not only for our own personal sin, but the whole world. The sinless Son of God has took on the sins of this world. So we don't have to be afraid of sin and death anymore, that we have an eternal life, that we will be spending eternity with God. Thanks be to God for that. We will sing the closing hymn now, which is 288, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" 288. Where we will sing 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to
Please stand for the closing prayer. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, who was and is God, did not consider himself to be God, rather humbled himself by taking the nature of a servant, became a human being and gave himself up for death, even death on a cross. He suffered the physical pain of torture and death. He suffered the mental pain of humiliation and mocking. Through the streets of Jerusalem he was dragged, and the griefs leaving his disciples and dear ones. He suffered the spiritual pain by experiencing the feeling of rejection by his Father as he hung on the cross when the sun refused to shine. Jesus Christ is always our example and guide for overcoming the pains of our lives physically, mentally, and spiritually. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He has given us rest by his sorrow and life by his death. Go in peace. May the one who bore the pains for our sins be your comfort in our pains. May his presence be with you in grief and loneliness. And may his peace abide and keep you during this night and forever. Amen. Go in peace. See you on Easter morning.
Peace be with you.
Recording stopped.
Have a great week, Martha. Happy Easter.